The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and the Washington Commanders have 10 wins on the season. The haters said it couldn't happen, but you know what happened? They got a new quarterback that threw for five freaking touchdowns.
Five.
You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I am great, JP. What's happening with you, brother?
It's ass cold outside, and there's no traffic because
can you imagine how cold it was this morning?
Yeah. I tell you what, B, yesterday at that game, there's a million moments to go through.
Yeah.
The run on 4th and 11 was just incredible. They had to go for it on 4th and 11. But the poise and the resolve and just the guts of this team, it's a team win. But for Jaden Daniels, a rookie quarterback against the hottest team in football, Philly had won 10 in a row, to throw that interception, it was a bad throw. You throw an interception under 3 minutes to go, you're trying to come back for the win. A lot of people, frankly, most people turtle. Most people collapse. Most people don't bounce back, at least in that game, in that moment. And it was about a minute of game time later, he takes them on a 9-play, 57-yard, game-winning touchdown drive. And just the calmness on that drive.
Yeah.
You know me, I get amped up about clock issues. I thought they were going a little too slow. When they ran the ball on third down after calling their last timeout, then they had to clock it, 10 seconds left, two plays to get in the end zone, and it's second down. I was like, all right, you've clearly set this up where this is all you think you need. And then Jaden, for all the talk of the throws he made yesterday, and I don't know that we're going to see a better one than the McLaurin touchdown in the left.
Oh, that was great. What a guy right in his face.
But B, the throw to Crowder before he even starts that break to the back of the end zone. I mean, the amount of backers and DBs that are closing in on that middle of the field, that thing's got to be an absolute laser, an absolute trust it. And damn, Washington has something special at the quarterback position.
But see, it's what we talked about for years where I've said it where rookie quarterbacks normally throw at a person, instead of throwing to a spot. He let that ball go to a spot, and that spot was where no other defenders were, and he knew his guy was going to that spot, and he hit Crowder. I think the ultimate thing is you hear Dan Quinn always saying how Jaden has a great ability to move on and not worry about what just happened. And to be honest with you, if you go through life, whatever happens has happened. You can't change it.
Sure.
You know, you could sit up here and you could worry about it, and then it snowballs and it becomes worse. But you, the best thing to do is forget the hell about it and move to the next play. And he does that unbelievably. When a play happens, good or bad, he's normally not a guy who shows much emotion. He showed emotion once he hit Crowder yesterday. Believe me, I've never seen him get so demonstrative. But that game showed me a lot about this football team. I looked at the clock in the first quarter. It was about 3 minutes and something left on the clock. Saquon Barkley had 109 yards rushing.
I think he had seven carries.
From that point to the end of the game, So basically, 3 quarters and 4 minutes, to say it like that, he had 41 yards rushing. They did something differently. And I know people will only see the big play he ran against the defense, but that damn defense did something great. Frankie Louvu, the way he set the damn quarterback up and dropped right back into it.
That was a we're going to talk about Jaden and the touchdowns, and there's so much to be pleased by, whatever it is. The interception from Louvu, the team was absolutely desperate at that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Philly had gone touchdown, touchdown. Washington had turned it over on downs and then had a fumble. They were desperate for a possession and just a stop. They didn't get a lot done right there. I mean, they still ended up when they had gone downs, fumble, punt, then you got Pickett in the game. And for Louvu, especially the week after he dropped one in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked him about that after the game. He's like, man, you know I was beating myself up all week. What people don't realize in the locker room and stuff, Frankie had basically told the media, he's like, guys, I was so bad last week. I really don't want to have to talk. I understand if I have to. Frankie's been fantastic for this team all year.
Yeah.
And he certainly wasn't bad. He dropped an INT, right? Like, things happen. And he was beating himself up all week that on a human level, I was so happy for Frankie to get the interception. And then that completely turns the tide because it's 14-0. Philly's driving there. He gets the pick. Washington's able to bust in to get their first touchdown. So instead of what could have been 17-0, maybe 21-0, it goes to 14-7. Now, Philly responds right away. That's when Saquon hits the home run, the 68-yarder. But after that long Saquon run, these are Philly's possessions in the second quarter. Punt, 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 missed field goal. Now, they shouldn't have, in my opinion, probably shouldn't have gotten that field goal chance. I think they botched the clock a little at the end of the first half. But hindsight, right? Washington couldn't do a heck of a lot either. We got to have at some point, Lanville put it on the show sheet. We got to talk about the B-Rob fumbles. But Washington in the second quarter goes fumble, touchdown, punt, pick.
Well, I just think the whole thing with the B-Rob fumbles is guys are not trying to tackle you anymore. You saw the game last night, Deron Bland.
Yeah, that's a hell of a
play. They tackle the football. And what guys have to understand, when you're on your way to the ground, that is when you better bring that other hand and lock tight. And B-Rob was trying on the last one, but that ball just came out, man. People are going to yank at that football. You know, but football, we watched the game, and you look at that game yesterday. I'd rather a game like what I saw yesterday. What it showed me was that we've questioned this team about where they are, what they're doing, the coaching, whatever. You saw a bunch of guys that are together, okay? I watched after that game, and I saw Bobby Wagner getting interviewed. After he got interviewed, they pulled in Terry, one of the other captains. Bobby was walking off the field. He stopped, turned around, and waited for the whole interview.
I watched it.
And then you watch those two dudes come together, and you go, okay, cool, cool. When you got that type of leadership on this team and this belief in each other, and you look at the coach, how they fight for Dan and stuff like that, they have some special making. And I want to just add a little bit to it for all the people who still want to move the damn goal line, move the goalposts. Every time they do something, they haven't beat a team that has a winning record. They beat a team with a winning record yesterday after not having a great game. So it shows you how good they possibly are. They're in the first year of a rebuild, people. First year of a rebuild. And if you can't see that, then you're a damn fool. You know? Listen, it's a lot of people that don't want to give them any credit. And I just say you have to be just a straight hater or a damn fool if you can't give them credit in that situation.
Listen, I've heard it a lot this morning. Lanville, I'd also like to open an investigation if you can. I'm fairly confident Jeff's just wearing the same clothes he wore yesterday, but we can get to that later. I've heard it from the Eagles fans enough. And they've been in my mentions and all this stuff. And let me be clear, I don't care about you. But a lot of people are going to try to discount this win because Hurts went down. And yo,
people get hurt.
That's a part of the game.
Okay, like, and the first game against them, we had a bunch of people hurt too, right?
Like injuries happen.
And nobody wanted to hear that.
I'm not denying it. What you should care about if you're a Washington fan is, and B, I think it's easy for people to be cynical or at least skeptical about brotherhood and culture and all these things we've heard from DQ really since he got the gig, right? Mm-hmm. But at some point, it's the Christmas season, Lamphill. Maybe you just got to use your eyes and see. I asked this question of a number of players in the locker room yesterday. What's it like to be part of a team where you know you're never out of it? And at this point, they've stacked together enough wins. Dude, the Bears win is a Hail Mary. It's kind of fluky. The odds of completing that.
It happened, though.
Right.
It's a play that you practice and try to work on.
But I think yesterday was something else entirely. They were down, they were down, they were down, and they just kept fighting. They just kept coming back. And teams do not win with five turnovers. It doesn't happen. And I
if
think,
they don't have any resolve, they don't, for sure.
I think to that drive at the end, if you are a Washington fan, is the biggest reason for excitement, hope, whatever it is, because it is just so obvious. And we've heard this over and over throughout the year, that in that locker room, nobody's worried that technically Jaden's a rookie. He is just their leader. He has proven
after those three games that, like I told you, Monte Coleman's after three games, you no longer consider a rookie. And I heard Biadas talking about him. He said, this kid doesn't act like a rookie. And every once in a while, you get somebody like that. And luckily, he's the guy that's taking the snap and touching the ball every offensive play.
Dude, I asked Cosme, what's it like to block for a guy where, hey, you know you might have to try to keep your blocks longer because he's going to try to make something happen. And to a man, the answer is we'll do whatever we have to do because we know he gives us a chance to win no matter what. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. This team has warts. This team has injuries. They are completely incapable of running the football. We now have a month's evidence on this. Something has shifted. They have not run outside of that Tennessee game. The last six games, they've been unable to run the ball. And what happens? Jaden makes plays with his legs and gotta have it moments. 4th and 11 to break a 30-yard run. He finishes as their leading rusher, 9 for 81. And then what he did yesterday to just put this team on his back, 24 of 39 for 260 with 5 freaking touchdowns. And one, you have to compliment that, guys. It's a next man up league, and these fellas just keep doing it. For Crowder, who was tweaked that calf going all the way back to training camp, right? I mean, that was an August issue. And then he's able to open the season on the roster. Then it gets worse. They throw him on IR. Then he's just languishing, man. And B, you could probably speak to how tough this is mentally. J-Mo was ready to go probably by Halloween, if not mid-November. And because of the way NFL rosters work, he just kind of was stuck in no man's land on IR. You know how hard that is mentally just to have to sit through it? And then to come back, and he's immediately thrust into the punt return role because they trust him. He showed you why yesterday, just some very professional plays in punt return. And to catch 2 touchdowns, including the game winner. Do you know what he finished with stat line? 2 catches for 2 touchdowns.
2 catches, 2 touchdowns, 50. He reminds me of James Jenkins back in like 93 or 4. James, I think, had 9 receptions. He had 7 touchdowns. He said, all I do is make touchdowns. And Crowder was like that yesterday. But you watch him, even in the Saints game, he is key.
He can get open.
He can get open, and that's the thing about it. But the whole thing about it,
he's wiggly.
He's not a guy who's been around for 1-2 years. Crowder's been around for some years now.
Veteran.
The guy's a veteran who understands it's not about how often you play. It's about the impact you have when you play. And he's always ready. You know, I watched him coming in and out of that tunnel for weeks. And I dap him up, and you could see in his face, like, his look was like, dog, I can't wait to get out there.
Right.
Which means I'm prepared for this. And he steps on the field. And I think any young guy watching him, or you need to watch him to understand how you get through this league, man. It's like you get thrust into situations at times when you have to just be prepared. Hell, 1990, hey, Brian, you got to play quarterback. You think I was totally prepared for it? I was prepared for the little plays they gave me, but mentally I wasn't ready for that crap till I stepped on that field.
Sure.
And I think that's the thing about it. You got to be ready when the time is called. You don't get the time to say, hold, let me warm up a little bit. You got to just hit the ground running.
How about a guy like Olamide Zaccheaus when, you know, they signed him this offseason, and I think real ones knew he had played some ball. Like, if you go back and look at his career, especially in Atlanta, he was capable of probably being a third receiver. He had a 500-yard season, a 40-catch season. But a lot of people, it's easy to be dismissive because it's not a big name and there's not been a Pro Bowl, whatever. You know how many touchdown catches OZ has this year?
About four or five.
Two. They both came yesterday and they needed them.
I thought he had some earlier.
It's just at some point, man, they have put together a roster, an organization. And, Brian, I think we either played or I read the quotes from DQ about development. And it's one thing you've stressed for a long time is that, yeah, you got to get your best players ready for every game, but you got to have every player ready for when they get called on.
There you go.
And I think you see that with this roster in a way that you really haven't before.
And when you have that approach, Jay, your team is much better. See, this is the thing about people that are around football or around professional sports and people that are not around it. When you have a professional football team, everyone is a professional. No one on that team is a college guy or high school guy. They're all professionals. But people look at it like, oh, if you're not the first rounder, the second rounder, you're not an important person. But the coach has to get everybody ready to go. And I think when you look at this football team, they seem to have faith in everybody that they decided to keep. You know, how many times we've seen people keep people because they seem to like them? Or they just did everything they said. And when they got a chance to play football, you go, why the hell is he here? When they give guys chances, you go, well, damn, why that guy not playing more? And I think that competition thing keeps that going. So, listen, as I was saying yesterday, the way they went down and scored, I say, this makes me happy. And I ain't too happy about a lot of damn things. I was happy as hell yesterday the way I saw those guys fight, stay there at the end and take it.
Three things I wanted to specifically mention because I have the memory of a moth and will forget. Also, who is that dude? But regardless.
That's Brian.
What's up, Brian?
And he's a Giants fan.
How you doing?
Brian, who are you pulling for? Actually, this on Friday. I said, who are you pulling for the game? He said, first of all, let me let y'all know I'm a Giants fan. I say, well, that's not a good way to start in this town.
All right, we'll find out all about Brian later. I just kept looking. I was like, that's not White Mike. Who the hell is that dude?
It's White Brian.
Three things, and all three of them, I think, speak to the culture they have built. And I understand we all feel allergic and kind of want to gag when we hear the word culture after 4 years of Rivera trying to espouse the word culture when it was clearly hollow and transparent. Three things that stood out to me yesterday on a number of things, right? Like the headline is Jaden, but there's a lot of stuff here. B's just knocking over cans of Monster.
Hey, man, I need energy. I've been up since 4-something this morning. What the hell?
Two veterans coming off concussions that we didn't see either of those guys playing. Ertz and Chin. Hmm? Chin gives you 100% of defensive snaps.
Yeah.
Chin's out there for every play. Yeah. Ertz makes a huge catch late in that game to pick up a first down. They are playing for the guys in that locker room.
But, you know, they're playing for the guys in the locker room. But Wednesday, the report came out that Chin was at practice.
Right. And then Ertz was there Thursday.
You heard Ertz was there. And at that moment, I immediately stated they're playing. Because let's be real.
You don't come back
to
practice.
The guys that don't normally play, they don't practice until Friday or Saturday or even get out there. When you're on the field Wednesday, you've already passed protocol to even be able to be on the field.
Well, and we were able to talk to both of them in the locker room by the end of the week, which shows you. I mean,
exactly.
But the last thing I wanted to say, and I thought of you specifically. Throughout the season, a lot of folks have been asking, like, oh, man, when are they going to figure this out with Luke McCaffrey? What's he got? He's not giving you anything. He's got 18 catches for 168 yards on the season. But if you didn't see what Luke gave them yesterday as a return man, it completely changed the game. And I want to give credit to DQ because the only times I've really knocked him this year is when I feel like he's been inconsistent. I feel like they've developed a really consistent, aggressive mindset where they want to play fast, hit hard, go downhill. And part of what DQ said is when we see the edges, where we see opportunities to make plays, we want to take advantage. That's why they kicked off to Kevontae Turpin. You saw it yesterday. They were kicking off to these guys because they think their coverage units can make a difference. McCaffrey in the return game yesterday averaged 30.7 yards, had a 50-yard return. That's a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
And if these teams are going to kick to him, he's going
to
take it every time.
I can't wait to see him.
He's running hard. He's running aggressive.
I can't wait to see him because he got another 40 yards early.
Dude. And
that first one when he was going, instead of just planting and getting straight up the field, if he plans to get up the field, he might break it.
And he'll learn that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes.
If you
but like
figure
the coach,
out something about
the,
now.
These coaches know when these guys are ready and what they can do. You know, they're not having a guy who's killing it every day in practice and say, oh, we're not going to play him yet. They play him when they know they're ready to take it.
Ron Jaworski joins us at 11. Phone lines at 11:30. We're going to figure out who Brian is at some point. Nobody go anywhere. Gonna find out. Santa Claus is legit coming to town now. I mean, hell, it's 23rd, isn't it? Leyville, how much shopping you think I've done?
Zero.
Correct. Shout out to Bloomingdale's and Chevy Chase. Coming for you this afternoon, baby. I try not to be hyperbolic, Brian, when people get into like these exaggeration contests, right? Like who could say the most outlandish thing? It's sadly what a lot of media has become. But Tischler last night on our stream said something that I think is pretty damn accurate. I'm curious where you land on this.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels now on the season. It's not even worth looking at the Vegas odds because they're so overwhelming that he's going to win Rookie of the
Year.
That's
over.
It's been over, but the content machine demanded that people started talking about Bo Nix for a period of time. What the difference? I think Bo Nix is going to be a good quarterback. But there's a massive, massive difference. And I'm not the first person to espouse this, but I hopefully people are listening more. The difference between a quarterback that can win you a game and a quarterback that can help a team win.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are quarterbacks that can take their team and go win a game. And then there are guys that are part of a team that wins games. Like there's just different categories, different tiers of this. And if you don't see where Jaden is in this, then you and I aren't breathing the same oxygen.
Yeah.
On the season as a rookie, he's completing 70% of his passes, 69.7. Over 3,303 passing yards, 22 touchdowns against 8 picks.
Yep.
He's averaging about 220 a game through the air. And then that doesn't even include the rushing stuff where he has gone for, I mean, maybe that's silly to think. I think it's possible considering how ineffective, yeah, he is now.
He's what?
He's their leading rusher now.
Because in a whole season?
The whole season. Because Eckler went down. The run game's just been incredibly ineffective. I'm not saying it's good that Jaden's your leading rusher, but remember, Robinson missed, I think he's missed 3 or 4 games by now. Yesterday, Jaden took the lead. Jaden has 737 yards on the ground with another 6 touchdowns. B-Rob is at 729 yards on the ground with 8 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
What this kid is doing is just so special. And I think the accuracy, and I think the hardest thing for young quarterbacks, you've said this forever, Brian, is to be able to throw to a spot. I mean, hell, you see veteran quarterbacks that can't throw to a spot.
Yep.
And they need to see a guy open first. I mean, we've seen it here for a long time. The recognition, Orlovsky posted this video on Twitter yesterday that I retweeted. Maybe we'll just play the audio, frankly. Because the recognition on the touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin, where McLaurin has now tied the franchise
12
record,
TDs.
The franchise single season receiving record. Oh, by the way, they have 2 games left. To throw that ball where he's about to get crushed.
Yep.
And to put it to a spot where Terry can make a play. And the play Terry made on it, so spectacular. He's looking to his right, has the sun in his eyes. Last second, flips to his left.
Terry can track a ball, dog. Terry's an outfielder. He knows how to track a football.
Just everything they're doing is at such a high level, Brian, that I mean this seriously because in no way do you want to say he's the best quarterback in the league. That'd be silly, right? I think Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen, there are dudes that have done this at a much higher level for a much longer time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just.
But they're supposed to be doing it. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. So I think we don't have to explain anything to anybody. You don't have to sit up here and worry about these compare. He is a rookie. This is his first year, and he's doing that. And as Tanner said yesterday, think about the next year, the second, third year of players that grow.
Burrow, obviously.
You know, we can't worry about, listen, there is a culture of hate in this country these days.
Sure.
To hell with those people. I like what I'm seeing in this young man, and I think he has the personality and the attitude that he's going to keep improving.
So I totally agree with you. I don't think we need to get caught up in a numbers game, a rankings game. All that stuff is artificial, right? They go play the games. That's how you solve things. I do find this one kind of fascinating, though. In the NFC, opposing defenses, who's the guy they want to see the least?
They don't want to see him.
2 minutes with the ball in his hand.
Listen, man, I've had people hit me today.
Goff and Darnold have been really good. I'm not trying to discount anything.
But
this dude is in a different conversation.
People that are Cowboy fans, the real Raven fans, the true Eagle fans, they all are saying Jaden Daniels is a problem. That's their exact words. He's a problem. And when people, if you don't know lingo and hip-hop language and stuff, when they say something is a problem, that means that you don't want to see that person in a bad situation. And this dude right here smiles while he's whipping your ass. That's the person you need to be concerned about. He's always chilling. When you watch him on, I listened to him in a little thing he had did an interview. I think it was with Kevin Durant and somebody. He said, man, you know, I just, like when I'm on the field, they say I'm smooth. I'm just always chill. You watch him yesterday, he never seems like he's exerting too much.
Even when he runs, the 4th and 11 for 30.
He just glides, man.
Yo, he's a glider.
Yeah.
And I was saying that going all the way back to when they drafted him. It's just the level of poise and calm and just staying in the moment. Even last night in the post game, he's like, yeah, we're going to celebrate this for 24 hours, and it's back to work.
And we're out of it.
You believe it. I've heard lots of quarterbacks say all the right things.
Yeah.
I've heard and seen that. It's different with this dude.
Man, when you watch him after a game, before a game, at the event you were at with him over at Raising Cane's.
Sure.
He's always the same dude. And as he stated in a little comment earlier this year, when you're always the same, it's kind of hard to have a drop-off.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't get overly hype. He doesn't get overly concerned. He's just who he is. Like, if you make a mistake, you understand, I have to correct this. So you go correct it and you move forward. You don't make a mistake and go, oh, yeah, we got to go back to the drawing board, man. No, no, no. You know what mistake you made. Just focus a little better next time.
It's it really is pretty remarkable with Jaden. Dude, I didn't want to address this. When he did the thing at Raising Cane's last week, and did you notice he was walking like...
That's how he walks.
Dude, the fact that I heard somebody yesterday, a week later, say that he was limping, like, please.
All right, so did he limp in the game yesterday? That's all I asked.
It's his gait. Dude, he's a different cat, and I think people need to stop reaching. Dude, everybody, Washington came into that game yesterday 9-5, and people are like, oh, they're not good. They're average because they haven't. You know what?
You beat the people on your schedule.
Teams on your schedule.
Man, let's be real.
You are very, very right about the conversation of goalposts moving with them.
Yeah.
It's Philly's offense yesterday. I understand it was Kenny Pickett, but let's be real. The best weapon Philly has had all season is a fella named Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And he hit him early, undoubtedly.
He threw some haymakers.
He had, what'd you say, a buck 10 in the first quarter?
Buck 09.
But offensively and defensively, they made really good adjustments in this game. I applaud Cliff because they eventually were like, yo, we cannot run the ball. We're going to have to go old school air raid. And they just started going 4 wideouts.
I almost called in yesterday today for I was going to be on the IR injury report because Dan Quinn almost broke my hand when he gave me a high five. Damn, coach.
he gave me some knuckles on his way out of the press conference room. That was not a soft one. it's got to mean a lot for DQ. I thought the coaches did a really good job yesterday. You got to credit coaching when your team turns it over five times and is able to overcome that and get a dub. Now,
oh my Lord.
What? Tell me in the break, I think.
No. This lady just sent me this. Everybody starting to send me these, Landfill.
Yo, the tutu is coming, B. Yo, as B. Mitch has said, he's got to be in.
Oh, my Lord.
If they get to 11 wins, he's got to wear a tutu.
Oh, boy.
Here's what I can tell you. The tutu is coming, but the cold-ass air is here. You can feel it wherever you go. Make sure your residential or commercial heating system is ready to keep you warm and cozy all season long by calling the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. A Crop Metcalf five-star technician has the training and know-how to properly fix and maintain your system and catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. Even more, let Crop Metcalf help you increase the efficiency and lifespan of your system while decreasing your energy bills. They've done it for me. I got this mini split HVAC unit. I don't know what it's called, but it has changed my house. Plus, the experts at Crop Metcalf can spot small problems before they turn into big ones that cost you a bunch of cash, which saves you even more money. For peace of mind all season long, do what I always do. Call the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Just for you, Landfill, Crop Metcalf, the one with five stars.
The Christmas tree.
Fired up. Coming up at 11 a.m., Ron Jaworski joins the program. Knows a thing or two about quarterbacking. As a proud Philadelphian, I'm sure he was watching that thing yesterday. Let's go to the stream. I haven't shouted out the stream yet. We're up on the stream. That's what my guy Brian's in charge of, I think. Yeah, thumbs up from Brian, the Giant fan. Whew, you got trouble up there. all right, Strizzy checked in first today. He said,
hey, Strizzy be on it, bro.
He said, Eagles fans eat dry fruitcake. LFG Commanders. How about that? B, five turnovers and win. In all your years playing football, did you ever have five turnovers and win?
I think it was four.
Weirdly, it happened this year when, remember Goff, I think, threw five picks. The Lions won that game.
Yeah. But it just shows you, like, yes, and I'll state it, this team is nowhere where it's going to end up. And, yes, it's early in their process, but it shows you the capabilities of an overall team when you can do something like that. When they turn the ball over, as I was just talking about, but you see the guy in Philly that wears the bird and all that stuff, painting his thing. Sean, he hit me, say, man, when you
I love that you know that guy.
He hated me when I was here, and then he loved me when I got there, and we still boys now.
Sure.
But he said straight up, he goes, look, man, when you make mistakes and you don't capitalize off of other people's mistakes, you lose games. And that's exactly what happened. When we turned the ball over, early on they got something out of it. But the rest of the time we stifled them, and then we got the ball back. And once we got into a rhythm, they couldn't do nothing with it.
Totally. It's, I think my greater concern from yesterday is not the turnovers. I think a lot of that is fluky. I mean, if you look at, it was actually Pete sent me a really good stat yesterday as people were freaking out about Brian Robinson. That was not good yesterday for B-Rob. Right. We're not trying to sugarcoat that, but I believe he had two fumbles in his previous 542 carries.
Yeah. You're getting games like that sometimes, though, man. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And I'm not just trying to make a thing, but you have to fight through it, you know. And, like, when he walked past, I say, hey, man, just fight it off. Shake it off. You know,
he had two lost fumbles on 542 carries before yesterday.
Yeah. So it lets you know that's not his typical thing. He's way better than that.
I did think he could maybe use a little time. Like, I was very surprised after the second fumble that they had a first and 10 inside their own 10, if not their own 5. I wouldn't have minded going to Rodriguez there. Just, like, let B-Rob take a break, get a sip of water. They ended up not running the ball in that scenario anyway, so it was fine. I wasn't saying to, like, bench him, but, like, let's all relax for a moment here.
Sometimes, like, when you – just like you said, he had two – lost fumbles and 500 and some carries. That coach has faith in that player. And a lot of times what coaches will do is let you play through it when you get to a certain level of respect.
Sure.
When they respect you. But
He picked up the first down at the end of the game when he needed it.
Young guys, you want to pull them out. Sometimes the veteran dude, you let them go out and fight through that crap.
So here's what I'll say. Of a concern level, because we're getting to the point now where they got to beat Atlanta Sunday night. That game's going to be wild. It's going to be on NBC4. We're going to do pre and post. It's going to be dope. But this should be about how do they beat, let's say they have to play Detroit or Atlanta or Philly again or Minnesota, whoever it is in that first round. How do they beat them? My concern is starting to be about their inability to run the football. They have turned it over. If you look at turnovers, they've got 9 in the last 4 games. But that was 3 against Dallas and then 5 yesterday is the bulk of that. They had 1 between the Titans and the Saints game, 2 wins. They have won 3 in a row here. Getting Jaden going on the ground, having his explosiveness, just having Jaden fully healthy again is clearly a gigantic difference. But what, if any, is your concern level about the run game be?
This is the thing. I don't think the running back has to be the only person running the football.
I agree.
So when Brian wasn't running yesterday, Jaden took over. And they still ended up with over 100 and some yards rushing, even though all three running backs didn't do well. Not just Brian. The other ones didn't as well. I think what's going to happen is they're going to get so focused on Jaden that it's going to open the run game up as you go forward. And then all of a sudden when you start, then now you got to adjust during the middle of the game and try to stop the run game, the running backs, and then Jaden busts you with one. So I'm not overly concerned because they're so efficient at the other stuff that they do that it kind of takes off of it a little bit. Because I'm watching Kansas City, and they wasn't running the ball as well as I think they should be running the football. But they got so many little quick passes that you keep a team having to have to defend the whole damn football field.
If you look at Washington yesterday, if you want some efficiency numbers, the running backs had 15 carries for 32 yards. Mm-hmm. That's bad, okay? But on third down, which is generally, an estimate of how well you're staying in down and distance, they were still really good. They were over 50%. They were 7-13 on third down. I think a lot of that is Jaden's ability. Remember the narrative that Jaden couldn't hit stuff in the middle of the field and that he couldn't hit intermediate
JP,
passes?
JP, what did I tell you about that then? I gave it the one-finger salute then, and I give the people that still try to say it, I give them the one-finger salute today.
I mean, the fact that they can have touchdown drives of 11 plays for 60 yards, 7 for 87. That first touchdown, they kind of hit the deep shot. I don't know about deep shot, but certainly an intermediate shot if you're concerned, to Terry. They had a touchdown drive, 8 for 96. Like, they can beat you a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Man. See, listen, man. If they didn't have a formula of winning, they don't win that game yesterday. And I everybody wants to say, well, Jalen Hurts got hurt, and it's a part of football, right? When Washington went through their little slide, they had some injured players. Nobody allowed you to have that excuse, did they not? So don't give me no damn excuses now when it changes up. Let's realize one thing: they went out there and took down probably the best team at this moment in the NFL. Team, damn sure, in the NFL, they took them down.
I said this before the game, and I'll say it now. For the Jeff, remember Jeff was like, oh, we got to shock the world. I don't think this was a shock the world game. I think Philly undoubtedly has the best 1-53 roster in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I think they got some warts. They got some stuff. Their defense was red hot. Washington was able to put up 36 on them, man. You say what you want about the quarterback, whatever, all these things. They put up 36 on that Eagles defense that had been damn near untouchable for a few weeks. When we come back, Ron Jaworski joins the program.